Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we are now in the depths of Trinity Tide, learning how to love God and love others, we have this beautiful instruction by our Lord Jesus Christ of the two states of souls. There is the soul which trusts in itself that it is righteous, and there is a soul that trusts in the mercy of God. And there is a deep contrast between those souls. And we need to understand this to come to the place of true religion, of a true place where we are, our hearts may be blessed by God. So the first soul, the Pharisee, is in the temple. He goes right to the front. He prays thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or adulterers, or like that publican. And I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he's already saying to God, what is his standard of righteousness? Right? He's got it defined. These are the externals of religion that he has been able to accommodate in his life. He's got a pretty high bar, actually. But he's basically saying, look, I'm going to be an upstanding citizen. I'm going to do those things which are generous toward God and toward others in tithing. I'm going to fast. I'm going to be disciplined in my life. And I've got it. That's my standard. And he's got a pretty high bar, but he's meeting it. Now, if he's not an extortioner, that means he's just in his business dealings. He's not putting the squeeze on anybody or taking bribes. If he's not unjust, he's one that you could build a business with. He's honest, and he's not going to lie. He's also not an adulterer, so he's not given to lust where he's breaking his own marriage vow or busting up somebody else's family. So he's keeping things pretty straight, right? He's a good guy. He's a good citizen. There's an ethical program that he's worked out that he believes he must do and that he's doing. And this is a very common way to think about religion, that it's some kind of ethical system, and that if a person sticks to that, they're right with God. They're justified. I heard about an evangelical effort where a church sent members out into the local community, and if they could get an interview with the family, they began to talk to them about their faith. And they would ask them a question. If you died today, and you were standing before God, and he asked you, why should you come into my heaven? What would you say? And over 90% had an answer like, well, I go to church every Sunday. I have, and they give a list of things that they've done or haven't done. And in that way, they're like the Pharisee. Like, I give tithes of all that I possess. I have, I'm a good person. I once said, a person once said they were good. I said, why? Tell me. Well, because I haven't murdered anyone. That's a little lower bar than the Pharisee, right? But still, they had an ethical system they were abiding by, and that made them in their own eyes good. And people that, couldn't abide by that were not good. Or another one who said, I'm good, why are you good? Good question. She said, well, she'd given a friend a good deal on her friend was in a pinch, so she gave her 10% off on a business contract. So that, in her eyes, that was good. But it's very common thinking that in the ways of the world where we are conditioned to think this way by competitive schooling programs, by resume writing, by accomplishments where we're trying to distinguish ourselves from others, where we're graded on the curve, where I'm standing here and there are others below me or above me, and I'm trying to get into that place where I'm feeling right and good about, where my place is. Very strong conditioning that is upon us, where we are trying to say in our own way that we are righteous. We become self-righteous because we've done very good things, we have not done very bad things, and so we're okay. But Jesus says the one who thinks that way does not go home to his house justified. That doesn't make him right with God. Notice that when St. Paul goes back to the Corinthians when their parish is in a little tumult and he's counseling them to get, back in where they should be. He says, remember the gospel I preached unto you. And did he preach unto them that they should not be extortioners, adulterers, that they should be just, and they should tithe twice a week, or fast twice a week and give tithes of all that they possess? Was that his gospel to the Corinthians? Not at all. It was Jesus, the Son of God, suffered for our sake, he died, he rose again from the dead. Remember what I preached unto you. That is the gospel. Jesus is the center, and that's where the man in the temple, the publican, that's where he gets it right. At the time of Christ, he would have been seen as, the Pharisee would have been seen as a religious elite. They were the religious elite, the separated ones. They were the holy ones. The publican would have been on the other side. He would have been somebody who would say, that person is definitely not religious or not a holy person. Why? Because they were tax collectors. They were already in cahoots with a Roman oppressive government. They had betrayed their own people, and now they were getting rich by going and collecting the taxes from their own countrymen. Whenever a publican came, people were, they hated them because they were part of the oppressive machinery that was sucking the blood, the lifeblood out of the people. And they also enriched themselves in this. They had filthy lucre. So they were despised. But this man, in his condition, in his own heart, is in the right place, says Jesus. Why? Because he prays in the back of the temple. He can't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he says, God, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. This is the one who goes home to his house justified, because he's speaking true things. No one can justify themselves before God by what they've done, only by what Christ has done. And anyone who is looking up to heaven, to the holy God, will understand what Isaiah saw in the temple when he was serving, and that the heavens opened. He saw the glory of God in heaven, the angels of God serving him, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people that are unclean. Holy angel comes to cleanse his lips with a coal in tongs to touch his lips that they'd be pure. Or it's someone like St. Peter who, following Christ, right, follows him, and then there's a miraculous catch of fish. And Peter, seeing that, falls to his knees. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Here we see now the correct response in how we are to relate to God, who is all holy, all pure, omnipotent. It is not with an attempt to satisfy him somehow with the good things that we've done. Not that they're bad, not that they're nothing. They're good as far as they go, but they don't make us right with God. There's a beautiful illustration by Father Bennigsen. He was chosen by the Russian Church in exile to broadcast sermons over Radio Free America into Russia during the Cold War. And he said, the way we understand it as Christians is that the soul of the saint is like the purity of freshly driven snow, freshly laid snow. It's pure, except for one dark spot that the saint recognizes, confesses, and asks God to remove. The souls of most of us, he said, are like a filthy rag that is stained like oil stain, but it has one white spot of which we are very proud. But all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, says the prophet Isaiah. Why? Because there's mixed motive. How many different ways, maybe we've done the right thing, like the Pharisees done a lot of right things, but Jesus is speaking about the interiority of our hearts. Where are we in our heart doing that thing? And if we're honest, and if we search with the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, we will find that we have a lot of mixed motive. There's the old story about the men building the cathedral. Why are they there? Why are they building God's house? One of them's there because he has to be there. His Lord has commanded that he be there as part of his duty toward his fealty toward his Lord. So if he doesn't show up, he's going to get whipped. He's there by compulsion, but he's still working, building on that cathedral. Another man is there because he's getting paid. He's a free man, but they're paying him for his labor. So while he's working on the Lord's house, he can't stop thinking about how much money he's making. This is really adding up. It's that, and his mind is full of gain. And he's kind of greedy about it, right? As he builds the Lord's house. Another one is there because his last name is Mason. His family are Masons. They build cathedrals. They're stoneworkers. His family is his father did this, his grandfather did this, his great-grandfather. It's been passed on through the generations. It's who he is in his family. It's a lot of pride in his family. It's what they do. That's why he's there building on that cathedral. Another is loving the forms. I mean, he's an artist. When he carves the Capitol on a pillar, he is rejoicing at the form, the beauty of the stone, how things shape out, how it all comes together in the cathedral. He's wondering in the beauty of all these artistic expression that comes together in that. And then the final one is there to give himself as an offering to God with his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength, and to help build this cathedral to God's glory. So Jesus is speaking about the interiority, and if we're honest about where we're at in our soul, we will come to that place of saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, for I am a sinner. And how do we get to that place? How can we reject the way of the world, the world's calculus, which is kind of educating us to say, I'm a good person, that's a bad person. I'm better than they are. And we start despising others because they're not as good as we are. We're grading ourselves on the curve. And I've done all these good things. And if somebody asks, you know, why would God invite you to share in his heaven? We would say, well, I've done all these good things. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I haven't stolen from anybody. How do we reject that worldly thinking and come into a place like the publican in the temple who prayed, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner? I think one excellent way to do it is to pray in sincerity the words of the Eucharist. If you look at the words this morning, there is no place in the Holy Communion service where we list up our good deeds. Have you noticed that? We don't stand here and say, I did this, this, and this week, and I didn't do this, this, and that. There's none of that. What do we find? We start out with the Collect for Purity. God, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit. That means we recognize right away we're coming with unclean hearts. We sing out the Kyrie, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. We then pray in the Gloria in Excelsis Deo that God, God the Son, Jesus Christ, would have mercy upon us, that he would hear our prayer, that he would have mercy upon us. We're already praying this as we enter into the Holy Communion service. As we come through, we see the development of that whole ethos of the one who is on bended knee, right? We make this offering in what kind of heart attitude? We make it asking that God would not weigh our merits, but that he would pardon our offenses. So we're coming with the offering of ourselves, a living sacrifice to God, asking that he would accept this, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. This is the humble attitude of the saints. We're learning this. We're praying it. We're being formed by this. And then think about those amazing words of the collect, the prayer for humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table trusting in our own righteousness. Is there any better articulation than the parable, putting that into prayer? It's how we pray the scriptures. We're proving the gospel. We're doing it. We do not come here to thy table trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy great and manifold mercies. That's what we're going to trust in. We're trusting in the mercy of God. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And then we come with outstretched hands to receive that which Christ has given, the gift of himself, under the forms of bread and wine, a foretaste of heaven. This is the gate that is open to those who are truly penitent. And we experience the earnest of that in the gift of the Eucharist. And so let's embody the gospel lesson today. Let's pray it truly. Let's set aside all that calculation of how good we are and how we've justified ourselves for so many years. Let's put that aside. We don't need to be self-righteous. Let's instead enter into the way of the saints. They've shown us the way. Let's enter into that humble path. Even as St. Paul, who said, I am the chief of sinners. Let's enter that humble way and pray the prayers that they have through millennium prayed, the gift to us in this Eucharist, and come on bended knee with an open heart to receive the mercies of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.